Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, I'm Moshe Ferber.
And I am Ariel Munafon.
And this is the Silver Lining Podcast, a podcast about security architecture.
Good morning, everyone. Another chapter of Silver Lining. Hello, Moshe, how are you?
Perfect. Good morning, Ariel.
With us also Tzachi. Hello, Tzachi.
Hi.
And today we're going to talk about identity management. And more specifically, we are going to talk about how to do authorization. But first of all, let's introduce our guest, Tzachi from PlanID. Can you introduce yourself and your company?
Hi, my name is Tzachi Lutati. I'm the CTO of PlanID. I've been with the company for almost a year. Prior to that, I was an executive director in JP Morgan, responsible for technology innovation. Prior to that, I was the lead innovation officer in Bank HaPoalim and many other roles prior to that. Most of them, if not all of them, in the software development domain.
Okay, so now you're CTO for PlanID. Can you describe the company a little bit? What you do? Who are your customers?
Sure. So PlanID is the authorization company. The only thing that we are working on is authorization and access management. So we are providing those solutions to customers that need authorization, that today is everyone. But most of our customers are big corporates, many financial institutes that have authorization problems due to their size or to do the complex policies that they have to enforce.
It's a SaaS product or not?
Currently, we have multiple models. The traditional PlanID is very well attached to our customers. So if they are big financial, it's something that we install on-premise on their data center. And we have a newer solution, which is a software as a service offering, with working with SAP on this solution. We try to keep it as flexible to the customer needs.
Okay, so we're here to talk about how we can better engineer our authorization mechanism. Now, basically, the good thing is that in the last couple of years, we focused on authentication and we made a big progress. Today, you have IDPs that can authenticate, do multi-factor authentication. It's very easy to perform multi-factor authentication on various different concepts, hardware-based, token-based. And I think we made a big progress regarding authentication. And now we need to think about the next stage, which is authorization, which was kind of left behind, since I think the 70s, maybe since we last wrote the last models of, sometimes I get to teach BLP and BIBA. Those are the first access controls models that were created in the 70s. So I don't think we made big progress from there. So we introduced robot access control and stuff like this. But I think today authorization is the main focus of large companies. Again, why? Because it's not dynamic and response to the business needs as it should be. And this is why we brought you here, Tzachi, to talk about us. So tell us a little bit more how you see this authorization challenge.
Yes, well, we see it, of course, all over the board with many, many companies. Today you have multiple assets you want to protect. There are many applications, many websites, many even physical objects that you want to protect. So you want to control the access to those resources. And the mechanisms and the standards and methodologies, as you said, are pretty old. So everyone is doing the best effort that they can do. So if you have like an infrastructure that supports some sort of authorization, like a cloud vendor, you will use it, but it's mainly for the technical processes and the technical capabilities. Unfortunately, if you have a business application, there is no real standard, viable standard, to help you enforce authorization, which in many cases results in either implementing your own mechanism, even technically storing those policies or rules in a database, or use the common mechanism like role-based access control using LDAP or Active Directory and managing groups, which is very, very limited today because, as I already mentioned, you have many, many applications that need to behave differently, many, many roles. And we can see with our customers that they are in a transition in those domains because they have the need for it. Like if you look on the biggest role-based access control sites, they are big banks. They have hundreds of thousands of employees. And unfortunately, they might need hundreds of thousands of Active Directory, not hundreds and thousands, but the biggest installations, if you ask Microsoft, of Active Directories are in banks. If you are looking into those financial institutes, you see sometimes hundreds of LDAP servers that need to all to be synced together only to give you coarse grain access control. So you belong to a role and this role can do something. So this domain has many needs, and we are here to help solve those issues and provide better way to do it. It starts with the model itself. Role-based access control is some old model. I know that everyone is using it, we also, but it cannot, it's not sustainable anymore because roles, if we look on the business aspects of them, are dynamic and they are not, okay, I'm a system administrator, I can do X, Y, Z. It doesn't work anymore. I have to do many, many things. My role is dynamic. It changes during the day, changes during the tasks that I get and so on. And role-based access control is very, very limiting in this fashion, and it causes us to put many, many efforts into operating this model. Newer systems supports a more flexible model, like an attribute-based access control, where you can use many attributes, belongs to the identity or to the assets that you want to protect or to the organization or to whatever. And then you can use or leverage those attributes in order to create let's say, a more dynamic model. It's still some sort of role-based access control, but it's more dynamic in nature because you have many attributes you can rely on and not just groups.
Can you give an example for a role-based access control versus attribute-based access control?
Sure. Let's look on it from a real life example. Yeah. So if I work in a bank as a teller, then my role is a banker, a teller, and I am assigned access to my customers. Mainly it's to the customers that belong to the branch that I work in. So it's easy to implement in a role-based access control. I belong to this branch and the customers belong to this branch. So if I want to access a customer, it's in my branch, in my domain, I can access it. But what happened if I, and today it happens more and more often, work in more than one branch? Okay, so they will put me into several roles and I will be able to see customers from few branches. Okay, but what happened if I work in a call center and customers from all over the branches call me? Can I access everyone's information? So this situation is harder to solve using just roles. So attributes can help here, and you can say, okay, we will divide our call center to, let's say, regions, or to customers by income or by name, and you create the relevant attributes, and then you can query those attributes and say, okay, I belong to the group that handle the low income customers, and this is the income is an attribute, and I can have that, and have the high income stuff be more let's say be a smaller team with more focus. It also not that good, it's not that good also. So you can connect it to more and more systems. So you can say, okay, attributes are not only from the user perspective, and the call center banker can access a customer only if in the CTI telephony system this customer is in a call with this customer support representative. Only then you can access it. So in order to implement that, there are no roles here. There is a role, so you belong to a customer support team, but you also have to get dynamic attributes, like from the telephony system that there is a call and who was identified to this call, and how this matching was done. And you can achieve those with let's say more complex authorization engines that can do role-based access control. They can take many attributes from many systems, and they can calculate in real time what is happening now, and define a policy, which is very simple. You can only access a customer that is in a call with you. It's a basic policy. We just have to connect all the dots in advance, and it can take place. So it's actually a very flexible solution. It can solve many problems. The key is to have as much information in, like attribute-based access control, have as much attributes, but also have the capability to calculate in real time according to what is happening now, which again is not that simple when you have many incoming attributes from many, many systems. But this is the nature of system that we need today. We cannot stay with old system that are very static. They were updated during the night, and you belong to some static group.
Yeah. Okay. Before it was very easy to say, you know, like you say, you have the role to this one, and then
this
okay.
is what you do.
Yeah,
this is actually the humanity has evolved. Yeah. In the past, you had a job for your entire life, and this is what you do. Today, you have multiple jobs. You change it all the time, and you do things that are not related to your job, but your manager allow you to do that because it brings value. So you need this flexibility in the supporting systems as well.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is role-based access control has finished is end of life because it's not dynamic enough. We need something that is more dynamic.
Yeah, it's not finished. You still need roles, yeah. But you have to have more tiers on top of it. It's okay. Not enough.
So role is like the basic mechanism. The example I'll always use role-based access control versus attribute-based access control. We have a system administrator. When he's on-premise, he has permission X, but if he's outside from his home, which is a different attribute, the IP that address is coming from is a different attribute, it might give him different permissions, again, because he needs only emergency stuff and stuff like this. So basically the idea is that permissions might change, even if you're a certain role, permission might change according to the situation.
Yeah, and the situation is very dynamic, and so you might belong to the system administrator group, and you have the capability to do everything. But let's say that there is a cyber security event in the organization now, and you need to take the authorization from all the users or many of the users and allow it to a subset that have to handle this situation. So you do not know in advance who are the ones that are going to handle the situation. You just know that now something has happened and you have to do that. So when we look on the full featured authorization scope, it's a very simple question. Who can do what and on what objects? And many times when he can do it. And the sets of attributes belongs to those components. So who, you have to have all the attributes related to the identity, can do what action, some can read, some can update, some can delete, on what object and when. And this when is not only time. It can be like you said, Moshe, which IP range I'm coming from, is it through VPN, was I identified with a multi-factor authentication, is there a company event that prevent me or allow me to do things. So the question become more complex and you need a system that will support this, and role-based access control is not enough here.
Okay, so the switch is from role-based access control to attribute-based access control to policy-based access control. From the background, I mean, we talked about XAML, which is, I think, the only standards today that you might have in order to can you elaborate a little bit more? I mean, I want to engineer an authorization system. What options do I have?
Yes, as you mentioned in the beginning, the progress in the access domain is not that great. XAML is still the main standard in the domain that defines how to perform this authorization process and what are the relevant information you need to take into consideration. But we have to keep in mind that this is a more than 20 years old standard, even though we are talking about XAML 3 now. But the bases are very, very old. And I don't know, it's not unfortunately, but no one uses it because it's too complex. It's too complex, not in the thinking model. Its model is correct, but in the implementation capabilities. Because XAML says you as a user will just ask, can I access this asset, let's say? And the authorization engine will say yes or no. And in order for him to know that, you have to ask a very, very specific question. Can I, Tzachi, access this object, website application X, in this condition? This is my IP. This is the context variables that relevant. And the engine will make a decision and will let you know. And let's say that the worst artifact is that you have to ask this question for everything you do. So I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do that. So you ask all the time. So it's a model that from a security, information security perspective is very strong. You just have to ask and someone will let you know. You do not have to make any decisions. But from operational capabilities, this is something that if you thought you will ask your application, I don't know, 2, 3, 10 API calls during this session, you find yourself asking maybe twice or even a lot more, because you have to ask very, very specific question to know if you can do it or not. So they take out the responsibility totally from the application. Again, which is good from information security perspective, but the operational cost is very, very high. So no one uses it. And there are many domains that are more, let's say, subsets of XAML that are being used out there. But unfortunately, most of the application handle access with no, let's say, leading standard. They use role-based access control and they let the application make some assumptions and decisions, and thus making the application more prone to security flaws.
Okay, so let's talk about how we can better engineer authorization. And remember, we always try to see things at the technology people and process viewpoint. So, okay, let's start. What kind of technology do you need in order to implement this authorization system, which is dynamic and policy-based and talks to your business needs?
Okay, so from the technology perspective, it is very well defined. You have to get all the attributes for all the objects. So you have to have a system with a good integration capabilities, because those attributes are not something that you are managing on your own on the side. Those are real life attributes from real life systems in the organization. So you need good integration capabilities.
And mostly to my infrastructure devices to get my IPs, and also to my business applications to get application attributes. Basically, I have to build something that is cross-organization.
So we suggest to use attributes from your infrastructure, so it will be coherent and consistent. But if you need, and many times you need to take business attributes, then you have to connect your business applications in and rely on those applications. This is something that is not that clear, but we find it more and more that customers want to take authorization decision based on their business. So their business attributes becomes business critical, and they have to build good systems to support it. But from the authorization engine, you have to be very well integrated. This is one aspect. The other aspect is that you have to be, of course, very flexible in the authorization questions. You know how to answer, because as I said, XAML is a very, very specific question format. And this is one of the types that we need to support, and we support it, and other companies as well. But there seems to be a need for other questions as well, and I will give some examples. So you do not want to ask over and over again, can I access this or that, because it impacts your performance, it impacts your stability, and so on. So you have to be able to ask your authorization engine, instead of can a user do that, maybe what can the user do, and get a token with all the relevant assets that he can access, and cache it in your session and use it over and over again. You also, in some cases that we find more and more applicable those days due to big data and more complex systems that analyze information, you have to be able to ask your authorization engine, in order to give this customer access, what are the, let's say, what are the attributes, or what are the filters that the system need to implement? What are the obligations that we must verify before giving access? Because when you query a database or in a Hadoop data lake, you cannot know in advance the relationship between all the data items. But you can ask your authorization engine, what are the filters I need to apply on the data, and get those filters and send it to your data lake, and then get a result which is already filtered according to your authorization. This is another type of question that authorization servers need to support. And of course, all the questions can go the other way around, and you don't always ask what the user can do. You, for some reasons, have to say who can access this action or asset, or what are the relations between those users and the actions and groups. So you also have to have some analytical capabilities within the system. So if I'm wrapping the technology side, you have to have a good integrated system. You have to have a system that knows to how to answer many questions, and not just who can do what. And you have to do that in real time with minimal latency, in order for it to be integrated into your workflow without disturbing it.
Before we go to the process, it seems a little complicated to do all the things that you explained. What are the tools? What software? If you can give some real knowledge.
Okay, so unfortunately there aren't any tools out there. There is our tool, Plain ID, as an authorization server that knows to do all those things. There are other authorization servers, but they are usually limiting themselves to some sort of subdomain. And some are very, very good in that. So if you have to ask all of those questions, I don't know of another tool that can do that.
Okay.
But asking those questions to different authorization engines, of course, that there are very specific authorization solutions that can help you with that. One more thing you have to take into consideration, that thinking about some specific case like we discussed, it's pretty manageable. But when you are looking on a big enterprise and it has like hundreds and thousands of scenarios, then managing it also become a burden, and you have to be able to manage it as part of your technology solution, to have a way to allow the users to perform their processes and manage this complex scenario company wide. And again, in this domain, we are the leaders of this domain, bringing the best authorization administration capabilities.
Okay, so this was technology. You need an engine that will be flexible enough and will have enough info from your different applications, also infrastructure and also business applications. Process, how do you handle now the authorization process? I mean, what changes do you need to make?
Okay, so the processes are also changing. And we will take it into through several examples also. So the basic process where someone wants to give access to some asset, we are doing it and the IT domain is doing it for decades, but this process must change, because this is not an IT process, even though up until now most of the companies are doing it through IT, and it doesn't matter if it's information security guys or technical guys that handle the domain or the Active Directory or LDAPs. This is been shifting for a few years now to be fully business lead. This is a process that must be managed by business, and business owners must have the right tools to do that. The process from their perspective is to how to give access to make business, to make the business grow. And it's a whole different approach than how to block access or how to allow minimal access to whoever needs it. So the process is changing. So you have to have a tool that will allow you to create this process, to like create an organizational workflows on who can ask access, who can approve this access, and how to connect all the dots and create the right policy to allow it. And this is the simple case. The more complex case is when you want to delegate this responsibility to another organization. It might be an internal organizational unit, or it might be an external one, like a partner or a customer, and you want to delegate this responsibility. You also have to create the right processes so someone can enroll to the system, list its protected assets and the members and all the attributes that are relevant, and comply with them. So we find today the most complex scenarios around the B2B domain. This is part of the solution that we build with SAP, because large enterprises tend to have many, many suppliers and many, many partners, and they cannot manage this by themselves. They have to create the right process so you can have a self-service capability where you can enroll and you can manage all your authorization capabilities, but under my set of policies. So it's also an hierarchical view of the point. So from a process perspective, it's changing. It's changing to be more business driven, and it's changing to be more wider in the approach and not only internal to the organization.
Okay, and the last thing, people, I mean, what kind of new people do you need to bring into this process?
Okay, so people, some we've already mentioned, like the business owners becomes a huge part of it, and not only the IT guys. And again, this is something that is changing again when you want to provide it as a service and you want to delegate it to someone that you do not know intimately. So today you can find a system where you do not know the users because they are identified or authenticated by a third party. You trust it, but you do not know them. You rely on their attributes you get from a third party, and you imply policies that you define so they can access something. So today the people are different, but the main, again, the main consequences is that it's business people and it's not the technical guys. It's business people that you do not know. It sounds strange, but this is how systems work today. You consume a service from someone, okay, but you rely on this service, but you don't own it, and this is becoming more and more available today. You use many services for many vendors with many access paths. You have to manage it, so you create the policies, you give the capabilities to your partners and employees on when and how to use it, and you can stand within your regulation and keep the risk low.
But if you look at you know, the IT or the technical persons, okay, they need to talk more with the business. They have some, you know, knowledge, technical knowledge that they need to have that they didn't need to have before.
The technical domain is becoming more standard. It's a lot more mature than the authorization domain. So if you have a REST API, we can use this information. If you have a database, we can use this information. If you have an Elasticsearch engine, we can use this information. So the information is becoming more and more available. And the knowledge we need from IT in this perspective is becoming less relevant, because today business analysts knows how to get the information and work with it. They do not need the IT guys like 10 years ago to create data panels and order the attributes so they will use it. They do need the IT guys to do like a one-time job and integrate the system with relevant connectors. But after that, it's more of it's like any business analyst that uses information, he can use it here to create the right access policy.
Okay, so let's try to summarize this. So basically, in the last couple of years, we've been investing a lot about about authentication, and we neglected authorization, and this is the time to reinvest and pay our technical debts regarding authorization. And the biggest problem we have is currently authorization is very static. We have role-based access control, and this basically means that you have the same permissions wherever you're coming from your home. Is it late at night? Is it you're working from a different branch? So it's very static. So we need to move forward to attribute-based access control, and basically to something that is more policy-based, which is more dynamic. Current standards will probably not help us because they were designed to a different situation. So we need to do basically the following changes. We need to get from the technology point of view, we need to get an engine that can read different attributes from our different systems, both infrastructure and both business, and to give us the right and to help us to achieve the right policy. We need to change the process that we give permission, like the example you gave on how SAP customers can handle their third parties, which is a very good example because third party access is a big thing currently. And we need to change the people that are doing the permissions. No longer we use the guys from the help desk, but we use the business people to make sure that they understand the real meaning of each permission that we give. That's about summarizing it, Tzachi?
Yes.
Perfect. Anything you want to add? Anything we forgot to mention? Anything you think it's important to know about this entire field of authorization and identity management?
I think it's going to be an interesting domain now because the need is there and companies will go into it and standards will evolve and it will be different in a few years.
Do you see somebody's working on a different standard to replace SACML or this is neglected currently?
I unfortunately, no, it's pretty neglected. Of course, there are different initiatives here and there, but nothing is adopted or mature yet.
I see.
Okay. It was really interesting. Really thank you, Tzachi.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tzachi. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Ariel. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.